Welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Buzz. We're so happy that you're joining us today, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or YouTube or our parish website as well. And thank you for continuing the conversation. That's what we're doing here. We're just starting the conversation about some of our Catholic topics, and your feedback has been really good. Your comments, keep sending them to us and we'll use them for future episodes. My name is Father Daniele. And joining me, as always, is Josh Sullivan.
Hello.
And Josh, we have some really important things today to talk about because
it's exciting.
Yesterday was Matt's birthday.
I know.
And Matt Van Milligan over here. You know, happy birthday, Matt. Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, if I could sing, I would sing happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Did you bring your guitar?
No, I didn't, but that would have been a good,
Next time.
Yeah, we could have totally sang happy birthday. How was your birthday?
Great. Yeah.
What do you usually do on your birthday to celebrate? Now, like, how old did you turn? 52?
He is the oldest one at the table. I'm just going to point out.
I turned 38.
Poor Matt. 38. Poor Matt. Not even on your birthday, I can't stop bugging you.
No. I deserve it.
So, like, what do you like to do on your birthday? Are you a big birthday celebrator?
No, I don't usually like big parties or, like, big affairs. I like, usually having a nice dinner and maybe a nice scotch with it. And, you know, that's good. That's good enough for me.
That's excellent. So if anyone's listening out there and wants to send scotch to Matt, please, by all means.
Yeah. Care of the Catholic Buzz.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to share. You have to share whatever you
will
get.
Do.
Summer, we're in the middle of July, you know, like summer's going along and things I think are going well. It's going by fast.
Yeah. Okay?
I know it's not like the summer people dreamed of, but it's kind of going by fast.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting too. I mean, so we're in the middle of trying to figure out moving houses. And so August 1st, we move. That's a big deal for us. And we're trying to figure out, we're living at the cottage until then. So we're camping, enjoying the summer. I don't know how life's going to look in August. That's going to be crazy. Well, I don't know if any, because we're moving and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody knows though, like with COVID and everything, like
right.
We never know. We can only plan 1 to 2 weeks to 3 weeks ahead. And then even with that, it's like, whenever I make a plan, I say, okay, well, maybe with COVID, you never know. It might not happen.
It's too bad that we couldn't see into the future.
I know. Right? Really? Well, yeah, really. If only there was a way.
Only there was a way.
That was good segue.
Effortless.
Yes, I know. It just happened so smoothly, you know? And we didn't practice that.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Because our topic today is sort of all that stuff. The future, the superstitions, psychic readings, all that fun stuff. I think that the Catechism of the Church calls superstitions and divination.
Yeah.
Hey? And kind of fun. Like, have you guys had any experience with that whatsoever? Like, I know I used to read my horoscope back when I was a teenager. I used to read my horoscope all the time, even in my young 20s. But then I discovered that the church has said not to read your horoscope or not to rely on your horoscope. Don't read them. And I stopped. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know up until that point. I didn't know. But any of you guys, like tarot cards, mediums, all that stuff, any experience with that? I haven't.
When I was a high school student, like way, way back in the 90s, because I'm
old, so old,
like a million. I just like you heard about people having Ouija boards or having like, you know, seeking out these things. And some of them with kind of harmless intentions, but some of them not really realizing the kind of gravity of what they were kind of getting into.
For sure.
Or if kind of they knew. They knew the association. They probably wouldn't be so quick to play it as a game or to to have friends.
So you use a Ouija board?
I didn't, but you hear about it. You know, they were around.
Yeah,
they were sold at Walmart. Yeah. I mean, you know,
they still are.
Yeah.
When I was a teenager, like it wasn't very popular. I don't remember my friends group using Ouija boards. Like that was never a thing. Like come over, we'll use the Ouija board. But now, as a priest in the high schools. Students talk to me a lot about Ouija boards, and young girls in particular, they get together and they spend a night with the Ouija board. So it was very dangerous. Anyways, you can ask my students. Yeah. I scold them. Yeah. And you know what you're supposed to do with a Ouija board?
Burn it?
Yeah, I know. And when I tell people that, they look at me like, Father, you're crazy. How come I get it? Yeah.
No, that's the way you get away with it.
Yeah, you have to burn it.
Okay, so in that start, why is a Ouija board bad? Why are superstitions bad? Why are, like, we talk about that stuff. And I think, like, growing up cradle Catholic myself, I had a time in my life where I had to understand this stuff for myself. Because, like, when someone said, well, that's not bad, I'll be like, yeah, it is, but I don't know why. So why is it bad?
So maybe right off the bat, I should read from the Catechism of the Church. There's two things I'll read. Okay, one is on superstition.
Okay.
And one is on all those other things, like palm reading, horoscopes, astrology, you know. So the first thing is on superstition. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, if you're following along at home, it's Catechism number 2111. It says, superstition is the deviation of religious feeling and of the practices this feeling imposes. Yeah, very interesting. Hey, the deviation of religious feeling. Basically saying we're skewing
our religious
faith or hope in other things, right?
That makes sense. Yeah.
And then what these things here, like consulting horoscopes or astrology, palm reading, clairvoyance, relying on mediums, these are called divination. So the Catechism number 2116 says all forms of divination are to be rejected. And then it says, they contradict the honor, respect, and loving fear that we owe to God alone. So basically, let me put it this way. I just had this conversation today about beads. They were...
Rosary or...
Not like mood rings. I forget what they were. Okay. But you know those sort of bracelets people wear that change color with your whatever.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is to help you fight off loneliness or make your day brighter. And I just had this conversation today. It's like people will put all their faith and hope and like, oh, I'm wearing my beads today. This is going to help keep my mood up. They believe that. But they won't believe, like the same people will say, you believe in God? That's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So basically, it's taking what we should afford to God, what we should afford to Christ, and putting it into all these different...
other objects. So it's like worshiping idols.
Idols.
In a way.
Okay. And in both cases, I think what people are kind of... It becomes a forgery for, you know, the proper use of religion.
That
it's something in place of. Yeah. That they're, like this bracelet is the thing that, you know, gives them meaning, significance, or that assurance that they properly should be looking for in God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, too, so let's start with, maybe...
The cult. I mean, the Ouija boards and stuff.
Okay, Ouija boards. You want to start there? Like,
let's do
that,
it.
That is very... So this, the Catechism says this about... It says, recourse to Satan or demons, conjuring up the dead... or other practices falsely supposed to unveil the future are to be rejected.
Mm-hmm. Pretty clear.
Pretty clear.
Yeah.
Pretty clear.
I've never done the Ouija board. I've seen it on videos. I've researched a little bit about what has happened or happens around a Ouija board and stuff. But very, very, I don't have my own personal experience for it. From my understanding, the idea is that you're asking spirits, whether it be demons, whether it be those that have long passed or dead or whatever the case may be, certain questions, and the Ouija thing, the crystal moves around the board and gives you an answer, spelling out an answer of some sort.
Right.
Now, how do you know that they speak English?
Yeah. No, and I think like even we were talking about earlier, like it's available at Walmart. Like I imagine a lot of people go into this, just this is a game, this is silly, this is, but when you take into account the fact that there is a very real underlying spiritual reality, that if you're taking this seriously, I don't know what the history of a Ouija board is. I don't know if it comes from this sort of like ancient, like direct
satanic
kind of
say,
it's possible, but I actually don't know.
Yeah.
That like you can have people coming towards even horoscopes or whatever. It's just, this is entertainment. This is something that's kind of innocuous, but I think when we take into account that you know there's a real underlying spiritual reality, and as Catholics especially, we need to be kind of mindful of that and on our guard against things that. You know.
Yeah, and I think people do see it as entertainment, right? Like any of those things, tarot cards or mediums, I'm sure I once visited New Orleans, Louisiana, very, it's a place that's very,
yeah.
There's a lot available in terms of psychic readings or tarot cards or all that sort of. I don't know if black magic's the right word for it, but that's voodoo stuff. Yeah, it's very popular in New Orleans, right? And that's what most people were doing. It was just kind of like a thing to do while you were there. Like, go check out the museum, check out this, and stop for a tarot card reading.
It becomes part of the culture.
It becomes part of the culture, right? And so I don't think some people might not know that it's wrong, right? And why exactly is psychic readings or palm readings, tarot card, like anything that's supposed to unveil your future. Why is that wrong according to the Catholic Church? I'll throw it out there.
That's a good question.
Yeah, because, and that's what I want to show. Like, most people don't know why, right?
And then is there a level of wrongness, if that makes sense, like fortune cookies? I get one at the end of my meal.
I read them all the time.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, exactly. So that's where, like, Where does it become wrong, or why is it wrong?
Well, okay, on that, since you mentioned delicious Chinese food, and if you guys aren't doing anything after, maybe we can, kidding. But fortune cookies are, have you read a fortune cookie recently?
They're not
even fortunes anymore. Like, I think the last one that said, that I read was like, you are enthusiastic about all things. That's not a fortune.
Yeah.
It's just like
an observation.
Yeah, it's an observation cookie. You know what I mean? But you're right.
Did you get your observation cookie?
Yeah. So why, we're back to why is psychic readings, tarots, mediums, why is that wrong? Yeah. Because some people don't understand. And the reason that it's wrong is because we're closing the door for God to reveal himself to us in our life, right? And we're opening the door to exterior things, external things to direct our path.
Mm-hmm,
only God directs our path, right? Only God has set us out on this journey of life. And a psychic reading or a tarot card reading or palm reading, it sometimes throws people off the normal course of their life. Like if a psychic was to tell you that...
somebody in blue is going to be giving me words of wisdom today.
Right.
Then I'm going to look for someone in blue.
Right. So now that's your new focus.
Yeah.
And things that God might be placing in front of you as for things you might be praying
being ignored.
With, ignored now because of your new, you know, maybe you're when you step out on the street, you're going to hit by a car.
Yeah.
Well, now for the rest of you're never going to step out on the street. So things will, your life will change as a result of following these psychic readings. And we're only supposed to give that hope, that trust to God alone.
And the knowledge of the future.
Yeah. Knowledge of the future to God. You know, and that's not to say, I want to be clear, people do have the gift of prophecy. Mm-hmm. I believe that. It's part of our tradition.
Yeah.
Saints, prophets in our history, even in our recent history, there have been prophets and people who have talked about the future. Now, we as Catholics believe that that's possible. Yeah. That's basically the... what happened in our faith for thousands of years, right up in our Jewish, even to our Jewish ancestry. So it is possible for someone to know the future or prophesy about the future.
Yeah, but
there's a problem when we monetize it and we do it for personal gain or personal.
And there's a very, there's a very clear difference between that being a product, a direct product of prayer. Or like a long process of discernment, usually under some very serious and intense spiritual direction. Those are the conditions that these or at least the ones that have been validated by the church. Mm-hmm. That's where these things emerge, as opposed to seeking that direction through consulting any spirits or any sort of like it's really quickly problematized when you remove that. That desire that and a lot of times people who have this gift that they don't want or they don't acknowledge and from a perspective of humility they're like I'm not this person I don't want to be the like it's the spirit that's
I think the messenger. A lot of times when a prophet speaks the future. Sometimes it can be very direct. Like if you're looking at the prophecies, the prophets talking about Jesus, it can be talking about like never crushing his bones, being pierced in the side, all those things that were very direct. But the way that people interpreted it until that time took on a totally different meaning until after the fact the prophecy had come true, if you think about that, right? So, like, being pierced in the side and never breaking a bone, thought he was going to be a great warrior, he was going to be this, that, and the other thing, and then realizing, no, he just gave himself up to die. Like, he did the opposite of what everyone thought he was going to do. So prophecy in the church and prophecy from God a lot of times isn't giving us a fortune-telling, this is what's going to happen, but is giving you an insight to the future that a lot of times helps you determine how God wants you to take the situation as it's happening. Does that make sense? Like, realizing that, oh, this is Jesus, this is God, this is who they prophesized about. Because we have the prophets foretelling, we can talk about this is Jesus. It is not the person that we thought, you know, this is not the situation that we thought was going to happen. Yeah. So, but.
It's true. So, I think.
We have the gift of prophecy.
We do have the gift of prophecy, yeah. Now, I want to go back to a little bit about something what we were talking about the use of entertainment, right? Because I think that's the root of what
the Ouija board, the tarot cards, everything.
Yeah, because now you find TV shows, you know,
late at night, even at they do the call-in cards.
Oh, yeah, do they still have that?
I don't know. I remember when I was young, late at night, even like as a university student, like you'd fall asleep and you'd wake up to this happening on the TV, you know, Cleo. And then someone trying to teach you ShamWells, sell you ShamWells, and tarot card.
But there's shows like Long Island Medium with Teresa Caputo.
Yeah.
And she has swooned, like even my mother at one point was watching Teresa Caputo. And it's just part of the daytime programming now.
Entertainment.
Where it's a medium trying to give you sort of an insight into your life. And when we stop and think about it, like just pause for a moment. Why is it so difficult to put our faith, hope, and trust in God?
But we put it in this
TV show with Teresa Caputo. Like, I, you know, to me, it's so funny. Even in popular culture, though, there's a lot of, you know, uses of sort of the use of psychic readings or superstitions or all that stuff, right? So it's okay to be curious, I guess, about those things, right? But we have to be knowledgeable about the right proper use of them.
Exactly. And realizing, so like a magic eight ball, you know, giving you an answer. If you used a magic eight ball, I personally, I don't know what the church says about it, but you could correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think using a magic eight ball is necessarily a sin if you were joking around and using it. However, if you put importance in the answer and made decisions based off the answer that it had to direct your life, that's where it comes into be a problem.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
And so, I mean, and I don't know, see, in my understanding, tarot card readings or Ouija boards or all that thing, all the time is wrong, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, the church makes very clear that these things, palm readings, those things are very wrong. Because if you're going into it, there is a little, like, you're not entering it just for entertainment. There is you do have a question. You are actually participating in this. And whether it's just for entertainment or not, there is some question or something that you're asking for. You know what I mean? Versus, I don't know, shaking a ball. You know?
They're intrinsically problematic for the reason that you said, that it's hard to imagine people engaging in these practices without seeking that direction.
That's right.
Like a magic eight ball, even so, like,
it
probably comes down to whether or not people are taking it seriously.
Exactly. But even that would be the part of
the fortune cookie is probably a better example.
Yeah, that it's exactly.
My lucky color today is blue. It was like, okay, you laugh that off, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, the problem that I see with that is, you laugh it off the first time, but all of a sudden something happens and someone in blue does say something.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, huh, interesting. You know, it doesn't mean anything still. You don't make big life decisions off of it. But then the second time it happens and something, again, coincidental or maybe not. And you're like, oh. And then, now all of a sudden there is a faith or
you're looking for that direction.
You're looking for direction. Yeah. You start to, there's a claw that kind of hooks you and you start to slowly slip into it. And now you are putting actual faith in something that's other than God.
Pop quiz.
Yeah.
What is the first commandment?
God, no God before me.
That's right. Yeah. You shall have no other gods before me.
Yeah.
And I think that's the root of this teaching. Okay. That we put all our we kind of turn these things
into
gods, yeah. Small g gods.
Okay, so the cool thing about this that it goes into now. So obviously these things.
Josh is excited.
I'm excited. Well, I'm excited because I see it, and I want to make. Oh, I think we need to address it. Is that we talk about superstitions and stuff like that, but then there is superstitions in our faith. Do you know what I mean? Not our faith. And not the catechism of the church, or the dogmas, or the the teachings, the doctrines.
But Catholics who have certain superstitions.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
like,
great.
Like, so we were just in the home buying market, all that kind of stuff, talking about burying a statue of St. Joseph upside down on the
in
property.
The ground.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To sell
Did
your
you?
House. No. Because
that was a nice statue of St. Joseph.
It was a nice statue. I didn't want to ruin the paint job on that. No, yeah. I'm kidding. But hanging the rose around the clothesline before a wedding. All those,
prevent the rain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those are all superstitions. So putting in, again, trying to look for power outside of, like, looking to have power over certain things. If I take a statue of St. Joseph, I turn him upside down, I put him in the ground, he's going to make sure my house is sold.
Right.
I'm looking for a power over top of St. Joseph, but then again, you're misunderstanding the whole saint and how saints can intercede for us. You know, like, you're missing the whole point of that. But it's not like has nothing to do then with God. It's the saint that has power, but doesn't have power because the Catholic Church doesn't teach that, or the rosary on the clothesline. That,
right.
Like, you know what I mean?
I thought that was the only. I thought that was a thing only Italians did.
No, that's
that's a thing. Hey?
I think it's something that just kind of like slowly superstitions specifically become traditions and become
exactly.
You know, like become.
What were you saying about New Orleans? Like superstitions can find their way into any. Culture and there are even like legitimate practices of the church that people can do superstitiously.
Mm-hmm.
An example is something like a scapular or something. I read an article by the head of the lay organization of one of the scapular organizations saying like if you're wearing this as an amulet, as a good luck charm, as a whatever,
to ward off evil.
Don't because this like. This is a legitimate practice of the church, and it is a good thing to do. But there are good things that you can do with a superstitious motivation that you're if you're just in it for kind of the promises and you're not taking seriously, you know, all of the kind of practices that are associated with and recognizing that the promises are the proper outcome of those practices, that it's not linked to the piece of cloth that you're wearing, it's linked to. The devotion or that should develop. He's saying, don't participate in this if you're going to do it in a superstitious way.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I carry a rosary on me all the time.
Yeah.
It's in my pocket all the time, 24/7. People used to ask me like, oh, is that for protection? Is that all for that stuff? Like, yes, when I feel like I'm in a dangerous situation or I feel maybe you know, something where I will put my hand in my pocket and sort of clench my rosary, but it's to remind me of the intercessory power of the Blessed Virgin Mary that she has over Satan, right?
And
it's
in
not like that these particular beads are protecting like a layer of, like a shield or something around me.
No, I think that's important. And I think understanding, you said something too about... scapulars, not scapulars per se, but like let's say the brown scapular is Carmelite, and so by wearing it, you become a first level Carmelite.
Because you do kind of an initiation process. You're initiated as a lay tertiary of
the Carmelite,
whichever order, the scapular belongs to.
So and you can only be part of one order at a time.
Yeah.
So those people that are wearing 25 different scapulars of different orders.
Because they like the promises associated, and I don't want to attribute motivation to people that I don't know about.
Yeah.
But I imagine, and this is what this person in the article was speaking to, saying that there are people coming at it with this motivation, and it's placing your faith. It's a subtle redirection of faith in God. You want the scapular to direct you to God.
Yes.
You don't
Bring
want you your faith to be in the scapular.
That's right.
Your faith.
Right.
It should direct you to the proper.
When you get to the golden gates and God says, well, why should you enter in? You don't want to say, well, because I wore this. Right? I think that's important to understand and realize. So there's dogma, there's doctrine, and those two things are things that Catholics have to believe. And then there's discipline. And the discipline is the part that I find, the disciplines of the Catholic Church are things that are allowed by the Catholic Church, but you don't need to participate in order to be Catholic. Doctrine and dogma, you have to believe in. Disciplines are what I find the most, that's what like a specific order would have. So like the Carmelite order, wearing the brown scapular, whatever. But a lot of times people find those disciplines are those things that they superstitionize, if that is a word,
right, those
are things that they take. Okay, if I go, like I'm doing it solely for the benefits or the indulgences or the, you know what I mean? Like I'm not doing it for the gift of faith or the way that it brings me closer to God. I'm doing it specifically to save my own butt because of these are the promises.
So what would be an alternative? You said burying St. Joseph in the ground or hanging the rosary on the clothesline, all these different things. What would be an alternative?
We prayed. We prayed as a family with my boys. We prayed as a family. And it was a teaching moment for my boys too, to say, we entered into a clause to get the house with no conditions, no nothing, to buy the house.
Right.
And we still had to sell our house as a down payment, like to get all the money out of it. But we didn't, and we prayed a lot about before we entered into that agreement. And we felt, God, if you're going to stop it, stop us. You know what I mean? And we ended up going into this agreement. And then we said, okay, now we got the house. We haven't sold our house. We have to sell our house. And then we just prayed again, Lord, whatever the situation you want us to go through here, whatever suffering you want us to go through, whatever knowledge, whatever way you want us to grow, however you want us to grow through this situation that we find ourselves in, please just make it apparent so that we can grow in this. If that means that we're going to go, you know, have to afford two houses, go bankrupt and lose everything, I don't know, then just give us the strength so that we can grow through this properly, as well as, so we didn't go and bury a statue. We recognize the challenge as the challenge that it was, and then put our faith in God and say, okay, if we're going to go through this, let us go through this the best way we can, which is growing closer to you versus growing closer to the statue of St. Joseph that got me the house. You know what I mean?
I think that's like putting your faith, your hope, your trust in God is what we should be doing as Catholics, right? And I think oftentimes we fall into different little tricks around that because it seems difficult, right? Just to put all your hope and faith and trust in God, but I don't know.
And at the same time, you want to, like, because you hear these stories about, you know, someone buried a statue of St. Joseph and they sold their house, and it really worked out for them. Where that practice, harmless in and of itself, is accompanied by sincere prayer.
Yes.
You're not placing the object of your faith is not the statue in the ground.
Exactly. It's in the prayer.
It's part of a tradition of what people do.
That's right.
And as a practice in it. Of itself, it's harmless, but
so in all these things, it seems to be intent seems to be one of the big focus points. So, like, you know, a fortune cookie. What is your intent behind doing this? What is your intent behind?
What is the object of your faith?
Exactly. Yeah. Where is your faith?
Is it God?
Placed?
Yeah. And Matt, someone who has participated in psychic readings or tarot cards or Ouija boards or consulted a medium, should they bring that to confession?
I think so, because those aren't just kind of harmless, innocuous practices. Those are kind of intrinsically oriented towards consulting spirits.
Agreed.
I would say you need
that's material for confession for sure.
Yeah. And talk about it with your priest. Talk about why, and like if you entered into those, maybe it was just for entertainment, but what came out of it is what you want to talk about with your priest, not necessarily in confession, but after. Just talk about, like, you know, because maybe there were some things that made you question your faith. Like why would you enter into that, you know?
It's very true. Yeah. I think it's a good conversation to have with, especially
a spiritual director or anything.
Yeah. So talking about this stuff, obviously, what can people do right now? What can we challenge people to do this week when we're talking about these sort of stuff? I would say easy is if you have a Ouija board at home, Josh.
Burn it.
Yes. But this is the perfect.
And if not, I got a new house with a campfire. I can burn it for you.
Yeah. We're going to get mailed all these Ouija boards.
And if you have a wedding, instead of putting the rosary on the clothesline, throw it in the dryer like a good, you know, 2020. We got dryers now. Just pray, say a little prayer, ask God, and if it rains, then take it as the gift it is. It's going to be a memory that you're going to have at your wedding day that it is raining and everyone's getting wet. Oh, can you imagine how much fun? It ruins your day a little bit, but I got to be honest, you're going to talk about it for 20, 30 years after that as fun.
Yeah, and I would suggest, you know, if you're someone who regularly consults horoscopes, If maybe you go for a palm reading or a psychic reading or whatever it might be, to stop.
Yeah.
To stop now.
And take a look at what you're looking for in these things and bring those things to God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also to recognize in your life certain superstitions, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Certain situations come up, your behavior is very superstitious.
Yeah.
And maybe because they're part of your regular...
And even your culture. Your culture, the way you grew up, throwing salt over your shoulder, the little things like that. Like even we had a ladder open in our house as we were doing renovations. I didn't even think anything of it. But the one person would not walk under the ladder. Like it was a big deal. And I had it right like in the door frame. Like they wouldn't come into the room. Things like that.
Yeah, I agree. So those are good things. If you're relying on horoscopes and it might be hard because some people just open up the paper or go online or with an app or something and just read a horoscope. But try.
Yeah.
And if you're watching Teresa Caputo, stop. You can tell she's my favorite. Yeah.
I think and bring those concerns, like we said, to a priest, specifically a priest, if not a spiritual director, but someone. I'm going to say with the knowledge of the church. So I'm going to say priest first and then a spiritual director. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So to be able to talk about those things and look at exactly what you said, Matt, what are you looking for in these things that brought you?
And that's a good question. If people are having that conversation at dinner tables or something like that, that's a good question to start with your family. Why are you using these things? What exactly is it that you're looking for? People most of the time would just be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like people don't know why they're consciously doing these things. And so I think when we refocus ourselves to giving God the honor, respect, that loving fear that the catechism talks about, giving it only to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think beautiful things happen after that. All right. That's all the time we have today. And we don't know what's going to happen next week, but I'm sure we'll be back here. Okay? Send us your comments, your messages, your feedback, or your complaints for Matt to the CatholicBuzzPodcast@gmail.com. So for Josh Sullivan and Matt Van Milligan, I'm Father Daniel. We'll see you next time on the Catholic Buzz.